We have a special guest minister tonight, and I'm in anticipation. I didn't want to be late for this. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Enjoys the presence of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. The presence is with us everywhere we go.
24/7, 365 days a year. Amen. We are really blessed. I appreciate it, Brother Josh and the musicians, everybody, you know, just playing your role and stepping into your place, your gifting, your calling, everybody singing. Amen. It's good. It's good. You just know the Holy Spirit steps in and the Lord Jesus is standing here. Anything you need, he'll meet your need. I sense from God that today's a healing day. I don't know what it is, but the Lord has just started healing my body. I've already been being healed by him, but it's just sometimes you have to get to the place where it's happening. And so something's going on. I don't know how to put my finger on it, but man, it's just elevating me to just a different place. And I'll share that testimony with you when it's complete. But, you know, the doctors can say one thing, but Dr. Jesus said something else. Amen. It's really your choice. You get to choose which doctor you want to listen to. Amen. Sometimes Dr. Jesus will say, go ahead and let Dr. So-and-so do what they do, because he's going to be with them and help you. But other times he says, just trust me, I want to do something with my word. Amen. I just want to make a little bit of an announcement, because we do understand that the seven feasts of God are important. They mean something. Rosh Hashanah comes up this month. As you know, it's this coming Sunday. So we always want to remember that. Rosh simply is a Hebrew word that means head or beginning. And Hashanah, the year, beginning of the year. For them, it's the beginning of the year. But the word Rosh can also mean the head. And we also keep in mind that we know that Jesus did something on every feast, fulfilled it, which is very powerful. And in Feast of the Trumpets, somehow Brother Ram speaks that almost like that could be when the rapture happens. We don't know when it's going to happen. But that would be pretty powerful, wouldn't it? I would be happy to go on Sunday, wouldn't you? So let's just remember that. We always want to pray and remember the Jewish, true Jewish people, not the cannon fodder. Remember Jerusalem, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There's true and false Jews, just like true and false Christians. Pray for them. It's not a political thing, it's spiritual. So anyway, we are blessed today and this afternoon to have Brother Murphy Wong in from British Columbia, all the way from out west. So he's on a different time zone, though I think he's been here for a little bit. He's been preaching around. Brother Murphy, you may not know him or of him. I'll give you a little bit of background. He's going to come out in a minute. But he's of Chinese background. He has done a lot of missions work in China, especially when doors were closed. He was helping getting the word of God, the truth, into China. Still doing that, even though the doors are somewhat open. But there's a lot of work to do. As of 2 years ago, they completed the big project of translating the King James Version into Mandarin Chinese. He's going to give you a few more pieces of information on that, I'm sure, on the updates. But that's so great, because the Union Bible that they were using was so redacted, and now they have all the truth. Praise the Lord. Also, he brings with us, with him, copies of Faith Challenge. If you haven't gotten that, how many of you get Faith Challenge? 1, 2, 3, so few of you do get it. But Uganda, something really big is happening in Uganda, East Africa, big things. I've got a bunch here extra, so if you need those, they're going to be on the table. Make sure you grab those on the way out. And we love our little brother Lincoln. Where's he at? Amen. You know, he just amens all during the service, so you got to remember, Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you know. So don't let him out-amen you, all right? So we're gonna get into this. I just was praying with Brother Murphy, and just before he comes out, he was looking at his notes. I happened to peek at his notes. I don't normally do that. We don't try to. But I found that half of it was in Mandarin, half of it was in English. So I thought, wow, he has to translate his own messages. He's got to interpret his own messages. That's a lot like our God, right? God is his own interpreter, so we want to be like him. We are supposed to be the interpreters of God's word as well, just by living it, believing it. But I just thought that was kind of interesting to see. What a precious brother Brother Murphy is. His beautiful wife and three children. He's got one still in high school. The other one graduated, starting college. And his oldest, his daughter, is just married, so he's on that track. I said, you're a little ahead of me, Brother Murphy, but you're younger than I am. So I'm thankful to have him. Let's just sing that song, Our Hope is in You, Lord. Do you know that one? That's not the title. I knew I messed that up. Oh, here it is. No, not, I was thinking of a different song. I know, I just worded the wrong one. It's the one that we sing, You Are Our Hope. I don't know if you know which one I'm talking about. No, then don't blame, that's me. That's just me. All right, let's sing 10,000 Reasons, if we can sing that song. Number 156. How many here has over 10,000 reasons to praise him? Amen. Just lift up your voices, sing to him as our brother comes to bring the word. Thus, my soul, oh, my soul, let's worship his holy name. Let's just sing like never before. Never before. Oh, my soul, I can worship his holy name. One more time as he comes. Bless the Lord.
Again.
Still, oh my soul.
Let's just bow our head and have a little prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, what an atmosphere already. We can feel your presence is coming near to us. Lord, is it not because we're worthy, but Lord, it is because we receive the worthy one. Lord, as soon as we receive you, Lord, it seems like the presence of God just always hovered over your own children. Lord, we want to give you all the thanks. You brought us from the darkness into the light. Lord, when we don't have nothing to really worship it about, only worship in this world, only worship the things that are in our life then, but Lord, are you coming down? Lord, we have something that is worth of to worship, Lord. We give you all the thanks and all the glory. Lord, we just dedicate ourselves again for the service of you. Lord, this service is for you. This service is given to you because, Lord, we want to glorify your name. Lord, to praise you about the things that you have done in such a great things in our life, in a different person's life, and not only here, but around the world in different places. We give you all the glory and thanks, Lord. Lord, I ask you your just have your guidance and direction for us, Lord. Lord, we know that we can say things, we can do things, but Lord, only when you come down, Lord, it make it a great difference. We give ourselves to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may just have a seat for a little while. And I just want to bring the greetings from the church and Brother Eddie Bisco and Brother Tom and Brother Tim Dodd just sent me a text, asked me to make sure to greet to the saints here, and especially Brother Gibbs. And thank you for the invitation. And I know Brother Gibbs for quite a long time ago. I think the first time Brother Gibbs has come to the Cloverdale Bible Way And so that's that just had happened that night. I was preaching. I still remember very clearly that after the preaching, Brother Gibbs has come up behind the pulpit and have the prayer. And so the one thing was really touched me. He said, you know, can we imagine if you're in the mall and you have your children with you, and then you somehow you lost your children. What a frantic then you would be. And you try to search for them and looking for them, yelling and screaming, and because you lost your children. I said, imagine that, how the Lord did to us. We're so thankful, and God called us. And when we're lost, I don't know where to go, don't know what to do, and it is our Father's voice that called us home. That's why I'm so thankful to the voice in this hour that we called it, the message of this hour, that God brought it through the messenger in this hour. We're so thankful for that. And I'm going to speak of a subject, but before I do, I would like to, Brother, if you can help me to put the slides on. Brother Elijah just mentioned to you about the Bible that we finished. And just give you a little background of it. In China, we have a Bible. We do have a Bible that's called a Union Bible. That's translated about 100 years ago. But there was a lot of discrepancies between the Chinese Bible and the King James Bible. And actually, we just finished the calculation, get a figure of how many changes, not changes, how many mistakes and the missing verses and the different things that we have made. The figure is staggering. It's just astounding. There's 11,447 mistakes just in the New Testament alone. That's 11,447 places we have to do the correction. There's thousands of verses that was missing. You know, that's why we have to translate it as this Bible. And actually, it's not just a 1 year, 2 year. What we find it is a problem in 1998, as soon as we started to translate it in a message. And so we already start to find out that there is a difference between the King James and the Union Bible. And so we started to market it down time after time, year after year, and until it's about a year, 2011, we just cannot leave that any longer. So that's when we start to really go into the work. And by God's grace, in 4 years, and we finished the whole Bible. But all the preparation work has been done since 1998. So it's been, we're just so thankful. You know, sometimes we wonder why Lord put this work to us. And I'm going to speak about anointing of the word in a few minutes. And a lot of people saw that. We even went to China and we met some Baptist missionary Americans. They're coming from here and said, doing the mission works in China. And they said, we're so appreciative of the work that you all did. It said, we've been thinking about to do the work for almost 20 years. Then I was thinking, the Lord gave us the privilege to save that to the message believer. It cannot be a Baptist. It cannot be a Methodist. It cannot be a Pentecostal. It has to be a message believer in this last age. Because only us, we have the eyeglasses. If I put down these glasses, I can't see nothing. I can say probably Brother Gibbs is over there, very vague. But you see, the Lord gave us the glasses. What it called it, a message of this hour. And it's not the Baptist glasses, because when Baptists translate the Bible, we have to throw the Baptist glasses. It doesn't work. It can't see it clearly. It has to, the Methodists do that. It has to do the Methodists of the glasses. But God can only trust the one glasses. That's a message of this hour that we call to the word in this hour. And that's our glasses. When we look at the Bible, we look at it a new, different way. That's the original way that we're looking at it. If you take the glasses off, you can't say nothing. You might have a Bible, but you won't understand what it's talking about. And I'll just give you some examples that why we have to translate. In John 16:16, it's a little while and ye shall not see me. And again a little while and ye shall see me because I go to the Father. That underlined verses is missing. Next one. And Acts 2:1 ends, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. With one accord, all with one accord was missing. What to do? If you're just in one place without in one accord, Right? You end up just everybody just gather together just one place. But everybody disputing the judge, but it has to be one accord in one place. Next one. And then he trembled and astonished and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said, but that whole verse was missing. Next one. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. That verse was missing. Next one. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That verse was missing. Next one. It even so must their wives be grave. They talk about the deacons. And in the Chinese Bible, it said even so must the woman deacons has to be grave. Not slandering, is sober, faithful in all things. That's why they have so many women deacons and women preachers that are in the world. Next one. And 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. This whole verse was missing. Next one. Revelation 1:11, singing, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. That verse was missing. Next one. But by God's grace, all those verses is all back to this Bible. So praise be to the Lord. And next one. You can see how the people have been blessed when they received the Bible. That's the believers. But you see, that's what we first, when we're thinking, that we're only thinking about to get a word, the true, accurate word to the people. But Lord has a totally different, not different mind, but Lord have a long vision than what we saw. So we're only thinking about to get to the Bible, to translate it, make it as accurate a word. But the Lord have a different view, a different vision of it. So a few years ago, we had the Message Hub Mobile. I don't know if you ever heard about that. That's what it did is that they have the Android app. That in that app, they have the Bibles in there. But on each verse of the Bible, and that they have the blue number just beside that verse. And that number, if you click that number, it will lead you to the message where Brother Branham talking about that exact verse, what he was speaking about. So when we make that to the Message on the mobile, we made that an app, and then we start to give it to the different places, and the people there started receiving it. And I was just sharing one testimony, and it just, I think it's just the last year, because my memory, I'm getting older, my memory is not very good anymore. So the last year I was in China, and because of the Bible, we have the lots of open doors into the Three Self Church, which is the only legal government-approved church that's in China. Before, we never got a chance to go to them. We can only go to the underground church, or the house church. But now we have an open door, because if you give them a message, people are very suspicious about it. But now if you want to give them the Bible, everybody wanted the Bible, because they heard about the King James, but they never be able to get access to it. So when we get into the Bible to the people, and then the one last year when I was there, that the brothers talking to some of the pastors that in the streets of church said, the translator of the Bible is here, because they used me as a bait. And they said, the translator of the Bible is here. Do you want to meet him? And they said, oh, sure. Yeah, we want to meet him. So then we got a chance to meet all those pastors and the ministers from the streets of church, the government church. And there's a three pastor, and they're... So we get together with them. We shared, we talked, a fellowship. Then he was saying to me, he said, Brother Murphy, this is wonderful that you have this Bible. I really appreciate that. But he said, just one thing that's lacking. I said, what is lacking? He said, how good it would be if you have some commentary. You know, commentary, like Matthew Henry, all those. I said, if you have some commentary on that, that would be great. But you know, sometimes the people are foolish, though we're believers. Sometimes the believers are most of the foolish people in this world. And when the Lord was actually doing something, but I didn't catch it, I said, I'm sorry. And I said, we don't put any word interpretation on the Bible. We just want the Bible to the people. So that's the first time he mentioned it. And then the second time, while we're walking, go to the restaurant, have something to eat, he said, how good it would be if you have some commentary on this Bible. I still didn't catch it. And then when we're coming back to the hotel the third time, he said, how good it would be if you have some commentary. Bingo. I said, yeah. I just remember, I said, we just developed an app. And that in that app, there's a Bible verses in there, and there's a blue dot of the number in there. If you click that, it will lead you to that commentary. And so I showed him on the phone. I just pushed the button, and it turned to the message. He said, who is this? I said, that's the greatest theologian you ever heard. I said, his name is called William Branham. So then they look into that. He looked at that. Brother Branham talk about it, scripture. He said, that is phenomenal. He said, I never heard anything like it. And he said, that makes my job so much easier. He said, in future, when I'm preaching, I'm just a cut and paste. I said, do that, and that's exactly what I'm doing too. So by God's grace, we're thinking about this is the Bible, but God has a long vision. By the Bible, there's many open doors for us. We can introduce the message to the people. All the glory be to God. And I'll just share it a little bit to you. But if you can also remember, in the next month, I'm going back to China again. And by God's grace, we're getting connected with the head guy who's in charge of all the Bible printing for the government church and in whole China. And we already had two meetings with them. We're just talking about how we can, if Lord willing, and we might be able to get into that to help to the printing the King James Bible and the Union Bible in a parallel version for whole China. So if you can remember that in your prayer. And we don't know what God is going to do, but whatever God is going to do, we know God is doing things right. So we just want to become the yielded vessel and see how the Lord can open up the doors for us. If you don't mind, I'll just invite you to stand up again. Then we go to the scripture. Your pulpit is made for the tall guy. I'm too short. But let's turn to... All right. So let's turn to a book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. I don't know how your time limit today is. I know it's already 8:25. I'll try to be finished as soon as I can. Let's turn to a book of Matthew 26, verse 7. The Bible said that there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of a very precious ornament, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had an indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much, and give to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she has poured his ornament on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman has done be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest, and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenant with him for 30 pieces of silver. May the Lord bless his word. Let's bow our head one more time. Lord, we can speaking too much, we can singing too much, but Lord, we can never be prayed too much. Lord, we come to the secret moment, which is the opening of your word. Lord, we dare not to open this word, because only you can open up this word. So I ask the Holy Spirit to open up your word to feed your sheep, because Lord, this is not anybody else's sheep, this is Jesus Christ's sheep. Only the great shepherd can feed his own sheep. We just ask the great shepherd to come down now to expound to the word that we just read. Open up to us. Let our heart be totally satisfied. Because when a master speaks, the master will satisfy us. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In just a few verses we just read, There's a several category of people here. Before this, there's one group of a people. It's called those Pharisees. They want to kill him. They want to kill Jesus. That's the one category of a people. Because in the Bible, it said in verse 2, it said, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." It said, "Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called as Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him." This is one group of a people. Another, there's a group of a people that is Jesus' disciple. They've been with Jesus for all these months, years, but they never saw the true value of the Son of a Man. They've been with him fishing. They've been with him going different places. They sleep with Jesus. They do all kinds of things. They're casting demons. They're healing the sick, but they never saw the true value of the Son of a Man, the Christ Jesus with him. When there was a woman who was anointing her with a most precious ointment, all these disciples, they become very indignant. They're very angry. And they said, "Why wasting all this money? This money can be going to help her with all the poor." They never saw the true value of it. In other words, they never recognized the message in that hour. They never recognize that the messenger that in that hour. They might be using him, and they might be going here and there and casting out the demons and preaching the gospel, but they never saw the true value of that. And there's another group. There's another category, which is the Judah. While in this greatest moment, and we saw this one, this person, instead of to be with Jesus, this person called Judah, he tried to sell him. He himself doesn't recognize the true value of Jesus either. All the value that this Judah saw is only 30 pieces of silver. That's all the value that this person can give it to. Whenever you talk about the value, you're talking about a certain product. Because when it's a certain product, you want to give it a price of it. And the Surface Book. You want to give it a price of it. And maybe it costs $1,000 or $800, whatever. But that's the price that you give, will give the worth of the products. But each product can only have one true value. It cannot be just have a different price, a different market on there. The value of the certain things, only the person who knows that the value will give it the exact value, the true value of it. Brother Bram, they're talking about the little boy. He got a little stamp, and he find out in the attic. When he find out a stamp, then he take it out, he noticed the old stamp, and he's thinking about, "I'm going to sell this." He said, "I'm going to get an ice cream out of it." So he sold this for $1. $1 in those times, he probably get lots of ice cream. That satisfied that boy, but that's the only value that boy can see. But then he give it to another old guy, that he's a collector, that he knows the value of it, and then he sold it for $50. But $50 is still not a true value of that stamp. Then goes for hundreds, goes for thousands. Brother Branham said, by the end of it, he probably sold about $500,000 of it. He said that the price is still climbing. Because the true value of it, it takes somebody to know the value and give the true value of it. So when Jesus come to this critical moment, and he start to has to be a sacrifice, has to be nailed on the cross. In another word, he's going to become atonement for those people. But while that's the whole purpose that Jesus Christ was coming for. His purpose is not just to preach the gospel. His purpose is not just to heal the sick. His purpose is not just going to the different places, that make them break the bread, but use the five bread and two fish to feed the thousands of people. That's not his purpose to come on earth. Jesus' purpose to come on earth to become atonement. Because only him is the virgin born can become an atonement for the sin and can save you. Amen. Because that's his whole purpose, that he come on this earth. But nobody recognized the true value of what was the purpose of Jesus Christ coming for. They preach, they do this, they do all kinds of things. Nobody recognized. Judah only sold it for 30 pieces of silver. His disciples only think about the poor people that we can sell the money. In another word, we got a church program. We have to have the humanitarian aid that we have to do. We have to have the banquet invited to the people coming over to feed them so that we can share the gospel with them. That's the only thing his disciples saw. That's the only purpose the disciples saw is that Jesus Christ can come here to do. They didn't see the true value of it. Judah might be saw the anointing. Judah saw that if I got that anointing, I can preach the gospel, I can preach the word, I can get money out of it. Right. Isn't that sound familiar? That is the television, what you call that? Televangelist. That's all those people saw. We don't talk about those people trying to kill them, and they never saw the value of it. But we're talking about the disciples of Jesus Christ. Those people have been following Jesus all their day long. Day in and day out. In another word, come to the church on Wednesday night. Come to the church on a Sunday morning. Come to the church. They're the closest one with Jesus. They never saw the value of that. All they saw is feeding the poor. All they saw is working. All they saw is just coming to the church. We support this, we support that, we do this, we do that. But they never saw. That's a critical time. It's the word become atonement. It's the word in the flesh, but now it's the time the word become atonement. Brother Branham said that all blessing lays in that atonement. Everything that you need of, everything that I need of, is all laid out in that atonement. Only one woman saw that. Only one woman saw that. That woman probably herself doesn't even know why she do that. But there was something driven in her. Something passed all the rest of the great disciples. But that Spirit of God moving in that woman, driving her. Then she coming over here to the word Jesus had. She broke her alabaster box and then poured out anointment. Despise all the people's misunderestanding. Despise all the peoples that are just they're angry about it. Despise everything else that that woman come approach Jesus. She saw the value of it. Only her saw the true value of Jesus Christ. How the bride can see the true value of the word of this hour that God gave it to us. It's the word coming to the flesh. Christ coming to the flesh. And coming in our age. Bring the word to us. But don't forget. The word must become an atonement. Then the blessing can come upon you. Because all the blessing, Brother Branham said, lays in that atonement. But before the word can turn into atonement, turn into the sacrifice, turn into the sacrifice can be a blessing to you, can answer your prayer, can do things for you, can save your children, save your family, can do anything before that, the word must be anointed. Without the word being anointed, he cannot go to the cross to become atonement for you. Brother Branham said, why people are so tossed about? They talk about what is anointing. He said, some people get a wrong impression of what anointing is. He said, did you ever think of that? When was the greatest anointing ever give to anyone? And what did they do when they had an anointing? The greatest anointing that was ever given to anyone was Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit by measure. He had it without measure. And one day he entered into temple and picked up the scroll and read and said, the Spirit of God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the acceptable year, to bind up the broken heart, to heal the sick, give sight to the blind. And now we would think, if such anointing was on him, that had been prophesied 800 years before that he would come. And here he was with the type of anointing, the full blessing and anointing of the Lord upon him. We would want to run all over the building, scream and holler. But the Bible said he laid down a scroll and sat down, and precious word proceeded from his mouth. That's what he'd done under the anointing. The anointing is not emotions. The anointing is a supreme power in control. Like knowing exactly what and how. And that's what's here. Anointing is not just screaming. It's not just running over here and running over there. Anointing is supreme power in control. And knowing exactly what and how. It's the knowing. It's something that you know exactly what's going to happen. It's something that you know exactly what is the word said, and that the word is going to fulfill that. What is the word as a promise to us? The word is going to achieve that. That is the true anointing. And we find out in this, while Jesus in his most critical time, just before he was nailed on the cross, just before he was buried and resurrected, becoming an atonement for all humankind. But that time, all these people start to manifest it. The people who want to kill them, they manifest it. The people who don't see the true value, they manifest it. The people who want to betray him, they manifest it. But also, that woman who know the true value, saw the true value of it, and anointed it with the most precious alabaster box of oil, also manifested. Yes. It's all coming to that critical time. We find out when Jesus coming into that time, it takes the people who really recognize that who he really is. It takes those people who really know the true value of Jesus Christ. I wonder if we have come to the critical time. We have been listening to the message. We've been hearing to the message. But I trust that we come to the time that a message has to do something for us. Amen. It's not just a believing. It's not just a reading. It's not just a listening. Hallelujah. But something needs to be done. This word must be lived through. This word must be fulfilled. This word must be manifested as the power that is in our life. When I talk about the power, it's not just the big, great healing ministry and this and that. It's to know exactly what to do and how to do it. It's to know exactly the supreme power that is in control. When a demon coming before you, you know exactly what is the word of God has said. It's not he trying to torment you, but by faith you're tormenting him. Hallelujah. But by faith you believe, I believe unto Jesus Christ, you and your house shall be saved. That's the supreme power that in control. Know exactly what and how. That's anointing what to do. But it takes that woman to anoint that word that in that flesh. And then the word, when it was anointed with an ornament, then Jesus said, she done the great work, she routed a good work, is what she did is for my burial. But Abraham is talking about an ornament, so what to do is take the smell of the death. That is what's that woman to do? And she anointed that word to take the smell of the death. It takes the message of believer, taking the bride of Jesus Christ. When everybody else is going to the lukewarm, when the death is coming on this earth, it takes the bride of Jesus Christ by pouring our life into the word of God, to believe the word of God, to take the death smell out of the way. That's what is the bride of Jesus Christ to do. It's not just we come to the church, we listen to the message. It's time for the message to be manifested. Jesus coming to this critical moment. When Jesus in that time, he knew exactly what is the most important thing to fulfill the purpose on earth for him to do, is to turn himself into a sacrifice. For who? For you and for me. He knew exactly what to do. What is anointing? Supreme power in control. Think it about it. Supreme power that in his hand. His ministry is going down. He's facing death. He's got a headache, Brother Branham said. And he was seems like his ministry is going way down. Instead of asking them to remember, follow them. You know, greet this and greet that. It seems that it's come to the low ebb. It's not. But that time is the time for him to fulfill his most important job that on earth. He has to be facing death. He has to be betrayed. He has to be died, nailed on the cross, and go into the grave. It seems like he gonna. That's the end. It's the lowest moment. But that's the greatest moment God is crowning his ministry. Because to fulfill God's purpose. What is the for our purpose to do? For our purpose to do, I have the quote, but I don't have the time to turn to it. It's to know what is the God want. It's not what I want, what you want, but it's to know what is the God really want. May God anointing us to know what is the God really want. Jesus knows exactly what God is want. That time is for him to be sacrificed as a sacrifice so that he can be an atonement for you and for me. Why he do that? As I said, he was saw you, he saw me. He saw the value of you. He saw the value of me. Though we are not born yet, but he saw the value of the bride of Jesus Christ. When he saw the true value of his attribute, he gave his whole life to it. Though it seems like the ministry is going down, but he gave his life to it. He's not following all the people who are, you know, oh, Jesus come, Jesus this. He knows exactly what he need to do. He need to die. He need to become atonement. He need to become a sacrifice. And he despised all those reputation and this great number and everything. He put everything aside just to fulfill one purpose. You are that purpose. That's what is an atonement for. It's for you and for me. Why he do that? Because he saw the true value of you.
My. That's so good.
Yes. He saw the real value of the bride of Jesus Christ. Think about it. They're not born yet. You're not born yet. You haven't made one mistake yet. You haven't sinned one time yet. You haven't lived a filthy life yet. But he already saw the true value of you. And when he saw that true value, by faith, he put himself as a sacrifice. What a God that we serve. He saw the real value of Jesus Christ, the bride. Do you realize he's doing another important thing that in this last time? When he paid the price in his first coming, the second coming, he come to claim that rightfully belongs to him. That's why he sent the message to us. The message is not to teach you how to live a life. The message is not to teach you how to become a good citizen. The message is God himself, Christ is coming to claim you. Said, I paid a price for you, but this I'm coming for this time is to claim you that you belong to me. You don't belong to Satan. That's why you can live a godly life. That's why the Bible in Romans, it says that the sin shall have no dominion over you. This message is not just to teach us how to do. This message is the power to do the things that we cannot do. All the other message, all the modern denominational message just to teach you psychology. Just teach you this, teach you that. You know how to live a good marriage life and how to be a good citizen. You know how to do your business, how to do this and that. But this message is a power in itself. Why? Because the powerful one is coming down to claim you. He saw the true value 2,000 years ago. And 2,000 years later, he said, I'm not only just saying it, I'm coming to claim you. You rightfully belongs to me. You don't belong to Satan anymore. That's why the prophet said, turn your hand off of God's property. Wow. He said to Satan, Satan is a squatter. He has no rights on you. That's why you can say to your situation, said the demon, you have no rights on me. If your children are sitting there as a log, you have a right to let the fire of God to drop on them. So that they can be fervent to God. Why? Because the message has the power to claim.
That's good, brother. Amen.
Christ is not coming in this last hour just teach us how to do. But he come to claim you. In the first coming of Jesus, he saw the true value of you. And in this coming of the Christ, he's not only just seeing the true value, but he's coming to claim whatever the value that's in you, he claimed that. He said that that rightfully belongs to me. In book of Revelation, chapter 10 and 8, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and he shall make thy belly bitter, but he shall be in thy mouth sweet as a honey. He come to claim you. Then what is our duty? Claim cannot be just in one side. It has to be in the two ends. When they come to claim you, you have to claim him too. Brother Branham said that my wife had a rightful claim to me as a wife. But also, as the wife, also has the rightful claim him as a husband. Claim is on both sides. It cannot be just one claim, and you said, no, I don't belong to you. When Jesus come to claim us, we also have to claim him. If Jesus said, you belongs to me, then I have the right to say, Lord, you belong to me too. That's why he said to go and take the little book. And then he said, John said, I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. When God coming down in his hour with his message and with his word of God, he said, I claim you, you belongs to me. It take the same fervency, take the same passion, take the same zeal that had come to God, said, I claim you too. Amen. That in another word, give me that little book. When he commanded us, he said, go take that little book. Yeah. And that is me must have the same fashion, same fervency. He said, Lord, give me that book. That book had my redemption. That book had all my blessing that's in there.
Hallelujah.
And then you can prophesy it again. Otherwise, you cannot do it. When he claimed you, you didn't claim him. How can you prophesy? When that book, when this word of God is not in you, when Christ's life is not living in you, how can you prophesy? How can you confess to the Lord, you saved my children? How can you do that? You have no power lay in you. Supreme power in control. Know exactly what and how. That is what is the God in this hour want us to do. But Abraham said, speak to the rock, and he shall give forth his water. He talked about those Israelites. They had sent 10 powerful miracles performed down in Egypt. Flies, leaves, fire, death angel, all they had sent in Egypt. All these great miracles. that they have seen God do, and they were still carnal thinkers. They were on their road marching then. Come out, and there was a pillar of fire before them, and they marched unto the Red Sea. But then fear struck them. He said, you're walking in the light. He said, if you are walking in the light, having fellowship with God, with His people, and the Holy Spirit is upon you, and you meet an obstacle right in the path of duty, don't stop. Just keep pressing on. God will make a way through it. That's one of the greatest experiences of my life, is to see God. When I can't get over it, get under it, get around it, or anyway, God opens up a way, and I go through it. Somehow or another, His grace is sufficient to carry us through it. But Abraham said, he said, it's strange how that God will lead His children right into traps sometimes. Wheelchairs, sometimes with heart attacks, He lead His children. Why? To see what they will act. See what a reaction they will have on an action. See what they will do. But he said, when he's in the path of duty, of following the word. What is he in the path of duty? When you're following the word, you're actually in the path of duty. Stand there and watch it open up. They talk about the Red Sea. He said, I've seen him fail. I've never seen him fail yet. When his word is kept. Do you know when a message come, it set up the true value of what Christ is? Before the message come, there's a different value on different things. People's feeling is very important. If people got hurt, that's very important. And people's emotion is very important. But when a message come, you know how much value you give it to those things? Zero. Before the message come, science has a lot of a value. Before the message come, education got a lot of a value. But when a message come, you give a zero value to that. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about you don't have to go to school. You don't have to use what we use. But use for the gospel's sake. Never let them become a slave master to you. But you only use that for the kingdom of God. But when the message come, it set up the true value of it. When a message come, before the message come, he always is taking a group of a revelation. Seems like that's the most important thing to do. But when a message come, he said anything else is not important. Only one man got vindicated by God. What he said is the truth. Amen. Before the message come, your idea is very important. But when a message come, it gives the true value of it. So your idea doesn't mean nothing. No more value. Maybe your dream, maybe your vision. Maybe, oh, I feel led to do this. I feel led to. I feel this. I feel this. When a message come, it put everything into perspective. It give it a true value. The only thing that is valuable, the only thing have the true value, is the word that God revealed in this hour. Yes. Anything else is just a filler. He give us what is the true value is. Do you know that your mistakes have no value at all? But Abraham said, unbelief have a no value. Sometimes you maybe do things wrong. Sometimes you might be do things that's not according to what is the word said you do. But don't let a mistake stumble you. You might be making a wrong decision. How many people make wrong decisions? Do you realize one wrong decision can almost kill you? Do you realize sometimes the decision that you made was so foolish can cost your life? Do you realize sometimes the decision that we made can cost our family? But why are you still sitting here? It's the grace of God that kept you. You know, all the mistakes that you made, I probably make hundreds of mistakes. The decision I made, the things that I do, probably made can cause a great havoc that in my life. But only reason that God still let me live on this earth, the only reason God let you still live on this earth, because you saw the true value of the Word of God. Brother Bradman said, we know we make mistakes, but you mustn't look at them. It's not your mistake, because you are always going to have them. But you see, it's following his rules, following what he said do. Stumble and falling doesn't have one thing to do with it. A real true servant, if he will stumble, he will get up again. If he wobbles, God pulls him right back in the path. As long as he in the path of duty. What is in the path of duty? Follow the word. But if he's off the path of duty, God is not obligated to him. But as long as he is in the path of duty, by following the word, God is obligated to him. Knowing that he's just a man or a woman. He's obligated to that person as long as they are in the path of duty. Amen. When you saw the true value of it, true value of the word, you follow the word. You maybe stumble, get up again. You maybe feel dismayed, you maybe feel discouraged, but God is going to put you back to the right path again. What is the right path? Continually follow the word said. Is Brother Branham talking about the woman in the well? Not in the well, sorry. The woman at the well. The woman at the well, Brother Branham said that when he recognized the Messiah of that age, all her black become white. Those Pharisees, you cannot put a finger on them, but they didn't recognize the Messiah of that age. They didn't see the true value of it. All their whiteness become black. You saw the woman who was anointed, who poured ornament on Jesus' feet, and he was kissing his feet. It was a tear washed and used his hair to dry it up. All her sin was forgiven. Why? He saw the true value of that atonement. He saw the true value that Jesus can forgive all her sin. Those people that are around them didn't see it. Rahab, that woman in the Bible, she lied. No matter if it was a white lie or a black lie, lie is a lie. Rahab lied. But what God focused on? When God focused on, she anointed the word by hiding the two spies. What we're talking about the true value. Jesus saw the true value. As I said, anything else is a filler. When Jesus saw the true value, the bride of Jesus must have saw the true value too. When Jesus saw the true value, he can bypass everything else but go to fulfill it as a purpose. To become an atonement for it as a bride. When a bride saw the true value of Jesus Christ, they can bypass anything else, even their mistakes, even their stumbling, even their wobbling, but go for the true value by following the word of God. Tamar. Anybody know Tamar? That's in the Bible. Sometimes when we read that, we're thinking, why Bible put that in there? Even she even committed, with today's version, we saw that she committed adultery with her father-in-law. But what God looked at? What God looked at, a desire that she had to keep the seed line of Judah. She anointed that seed word. That's what she did. She saw the true value of it. Just like that woman in the book of Matthew, she saw the true value of it. She doesn't even know why she's doing that, but she was driven to do it. Tamar was driven to do it, to keep the sea line of Judah. All she cared about is to conceive the seed. It's not only to conceive the seed, but to conceive the seed from Judah. She can have opportunity to conceive seed from Ephraim. She can have opportunity to conceive seed from Manasseh, to all different other tribes. What driven her? What driven her? It is God driven her. There's something that in her, I don't want any other seed, but I want the seed from a tribe of Judah. Why? Because the line of a tribe of Judah is coming from the tribe of Judah. Because the redemption is coming from Judah. She doesn't want just any other seed, but she wants that seed has the redemptive power. The bride of Jesus Christ doesn't want any other seed. No matter it's the psychology, the Baptist, the Methodist, the Pentecostal, that doesn't satisfy us. It has to be the seed of God in this hour. That's the only seed that we want to conceive it from. She wants to be included in the tribe that has the redemptive seed. What driving her? It's not only her own sexual desire. It's nothing with that. But it's the God himself in that has driven her. All Tamar considered is only to receive seed from a certain source. Not from any source. It must be from the tribe of Judah. The bride of Jesus Christ doesn't desire any other seed but the seed of God in this hour, which has been vindicated. Only the word of this hour is the seed that coming from our Lord. The Bible in John 10:10 said, "The thief comes not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." The bride of Jesus Christ is not only just one life, but we want a life abundantly. Rahab is not just want her own life. Rahab wants her whole house to be saved. Ruth is not just one gleaning in the field, but she needed redemption. And that only redemption can only find in Boaz's field. In today's version, we can see this, she wanted a life abundantly. Esther doesn't just want her own life to be saved. Esther said, "Let my life be given me at my petition and my people and my request." The bride of Jesus Christ is not only just want to live a life. Not only just want our life, you know, we live a good life and that we can come to church or we have a wonderful pastor, we have a wonderful deacons or trustees or whatever. You know, we just live a life until the rapture. They have something to do. Something's driven in them. They want to anoint the word when it's this critical time. Lord, let my life become a live abundantly. Let me become a blessing. Let me become an abundant life. Live out of my life that can be rippling through to the other people as well. That's why we are anointing the word. That's why we translated the Bible. That's why if you go to look at the Fifth Challenge report of the Mexican that I'll give it to you. In just the last about 3 or 4 months in Uganda, Lord did a great revival there. There's a 2,000 and more than 2,300 people was baptized. And the number keep climbing. Yeah. There's hundreds of ministers coming from the Pentecostal denomination receiving a message. What is the God doing? The Spirit of a God is moving through that country. Yeah. You know, the wind comes, the wind goes. When the Spirit of God moves, it doesn't just constantly. You never see any wind that just blow the whole year. When the wind blows, when it comes, it goes. And when God is doing something, when it comes, and it goes. If the God ever working in your life, treasure it. You might never got that the revival come back to you again. Seeking every opportunity that the Lord give it to you. Brother Ben said, he talked about those Israelites. They said, Lord, we love you. We step out on your word. Your prophet has advised us. I think our prophet advised us too. And we see that you are with him by the signs and wonders. Do we saw that? That you are doing with him. And we know that you are with him. And the word of God is here. And he has bid us to come. And he never told us anything contrary to your word. Because you gave us the promise. I can see today, the Lord has vindicated the word in this hour to us. Not just for us to read, to listen, but for us to believe every word that I said. No matter what situation that you're in, no matter what difficulties that you have experienced with, but always go to the source, which is the word that God gave it to us in this hour. And Brother Abraham said, what was they doing? They're projecting love, divine love of God. Sovereign grace will have to act in this place. He said, tell them to stand still, and I'll show you what grace is. Just stand still now. Don't be excited. Every footstep of a righteous man is ordered of the Lord. He said, it may be through trials, and it may through troubles and tribulation, but as long as God is leading, what difference does it make? He said, they love me, and they are projecting to me by proving that they believe me to step out on my word, and they believe it. And now they're at the end of the road. Do you find out that you're at the end of the road sometime? You believe the word, you believe the word. It seems like just nothing going to happen. It seems like you're coming to the end of your road and don't know what to do. Sometimes there's no light in the tunnel. But Brother Webb said, the love has taken them as far as he can. So now I will project to them. They project love to me. I will project my divine grace and power to them. May the musician come. What is the duty that God wants us to have? Brother Bram talking about that woman. She said that woman loved him so much. And she brought the alabaster box of oil, ointment, and come to anoint Jesus Christ. You know, when the divine love was projected, then the sovereign grace, they're coming down and to take it over. Have you found out that you want a certain situation that you're in? You know what is the God wants you to do? He doesn't want you to fix the problem because you cannot fix the problem. He doesn't want you to try to, you know, I try to solve this, I try to do this, I try to do that. You will never do anything like that. Jesus said, you will always have a poor, but you don't have me always. Let me say this, you will always have a problem. You will always have a mistake. You will always have a difficult situation, but you don't have him always. When you have him, anoint the word. By what? By your faith to believe it. Lord, I don't feel it. Lord, I don't sense it. I don't have a dream. I don't have a vision. I don't have nothing. But Lord, your word has said so. I believe every word that you said. We're coming to a critical time. You saw so many people left in a message. You saw so many people rejecting the word. Don't be categorized with those categories. Be categorized with that little woman. Something driven in her heart. This is my time to anoint the word of God. May the Lord bless you, Brother Elijah. God bless you.
Preaching, and first time I heard him preach, like he said many years ago, and it really struck me.
And it's just always that way. It's always been that way. Whenever I listen to some archive messages there, it's just that way. The woman gave everything. The alabaster box was her savings. She had to sell herself or do whatever she had to do to get out of prison. That was her way out. That was her whole life. And she gave it up. And if we would just surrender our lives to Jesus, we would anoint him to become super powerful in our lives. You can't just give a little bit of yourself. You can't say, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to believe this message. This message demands a total surrender. You become lost in Jesus. And all the disciples could do is condemn, you know, because they're conservative. They're trying to be reasonable. But if you'll tonight, if you haven't fully surrendered to Jesus, if you haven't given the last full measure of all your worth to prove that you see all his value is doesn't even compare to what you have as value. How many here is willing to give up your temporary fix, your temporary way of getting relief, your temporary what you think is going to save you or help you in some area of your life? How many is willing to surrender that? Surrender that to him right now, tonight. Do you truly see the real value that we heard tonight from our brother? Jesus Christ is standing here with open arms and open hands. And he'll take your pain, your sickness, your healing that you need, that your medicine you think you need. He takes all your sin, all the doubts and fears. Jesus Christ, surrender it to him right now. And he is all the value you need in your life for everything that you need. He is the coming word. Do you believe that he's the coming word? All he needs is your faith to anoint him. The coming word is standing here in front of you. And if you anoint it by surrendering your life to him and your faith to him, that word becomes active in your life. You become that word in Jesus' name. Lord, we just pray as we close this evening, how, Lord, we could sit here another hour just to listen to these words. It's so hard for a minister traveling, Lord, to be able to feel like they delivered fully from their heart. But Lord, I believe that it's not what the minister does, but what you do from here on out. The Holy Spirit, Lord, you take those words and you make them live in us. Take those words and make them life in us. Lord, I believe right now tonight we're here anointing those words. They're being anointed, oh God, because we surrender, we pour out. Pour out the alabaster of our lives. We pour it out upon it, Lord. Be anointed, O God, not for death, but for life, for liberty, for joy. For the joy that was set before you, you endured the cross. We're your joy, Lord. We were the joy. We were the value that you saw. Calvary made a way that you could purchase us. You saw value. Now, Lord, I hope that we can see the joy that's set before us. We can face every day. We can face these lives that we face, knowing the joy. You're the joy, Lord, that's set before us. Bless your people, we pray. Bring in the lost, our loved ones that we love so much that are floundering. Bring them back fully to you, Lord Jesus. Do whatever it takes to bring them, O Lord, for the time is short. We see value in all our loved ones, Lord. Lord, there's a value that's attached to each one. You didn't just save us individually, but you said, Lord, whoever believes, you and your whole household shall be saved. There's value in the extension, Lord. As your prophet told us, there's not only the joy in salvation, but there's the joy in also handing out salvation. Lord, we pray that you'll give us such a burden for those believers in Uganda. 2,500 coming all at once, every day, hundreds, Lord, coming, being baptized, coming to the truth. And now, Brother Andre Petit telling us, Lord, about the believers in the Dominican Republic. A man that has an independent church, 17 churches, all want to hear the message all at once. Preaching, they can only preach from the church age book, that's all they have. They're just hungry because they found the truth. May we pour our lives into that, Lord. May we see value in it. Help us see the value, Lord, in the Bible, Lord, translated Mandarin. Lord, help us see value in languages, because those languages become voices, become lives, become salvation. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You love Him with all your heart? Amen. Hallelujah. To bring value, to bring the value. Here's what the message of the hour has come to do: to bring the value to its full manifestation. Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago because He saw value in you today. He sees value in you today. But the Word has come with authority to bring that value into manifestation. When you speak something into existence, when you change the world you live in with your own life, your voice, your attitude, you are showing that His whole purpose of His death is to bring that into full manifestation. The real value. Do you believe that? The violin. Remember the auction story of the violin? They were trying to sell it for $5. And then some master from the back walked up, and he wasn't even buying it. He just said, let me play it for a while. He tightened it up. He tuned it up. He started playing a masterpiece with the violin. And that Stradivarius that nobody even recognized suddenly was just pulsating out its value. The value. And then the auctioneer started all over again and went from $2, $3, $5, $4,000, $5,000, $10,000. People were willing to spend a lot because they suddenly realized the value. How many here would raise your hand and say, I want that to happen? Who heard that message tonight? The true value of Jesus Christ, the true value of the second coming we're in, is to bring the value out in each one of us. How many understands that what He's doing? The expense. Jesus didn't just die for sinners because He felt sorry for sinners. He died for value in sinners that He saw in you and in me. I'm so glad He saw that, aren't you? Sometimes I don't see it in myself. Something you said, brother, and I want to sing this song based on that. And I want you to all stand. Because, you know, Jesus endured the cross with His focus being the joy. And the Apostle Paul says, I've suffered. I was beaten 3 times, left for dead. But he said, it was because you are the joy of my ministry. You're the joy of my, you're the crown in the rejoicing. How many understands that? You're the joy of my ministry. But for each one of you, as you bring people to Christ and lead them to here, they become the joy of your ministry. Your children that you raise up in Christ, they become the joy of your ministry. Does that make sense? And so, Brother Murphy, in a way, your life is now intertwined with ours and interconnected. And suddenly there's this network of value that's, as Paul says, God's going to add it to your account. It creates a value when you deliver something of value to others. It brings back hundredfold, thousandfold value back to you. Amen. So do that to each other. Help each other. Help a brother or sister in here who's trying to raise their kids. Help them. Be encouraging to those children. It's a struggle. It's tough on them right now in this age we live in. Encourage the children in this congregation. Amen. Keep that in mind. So I want to just sing that song, Can't You See Why I'm So Happy? And remember that John said, give me, remember, give me the book. But the command was, go take the book. And remember, John's being humble because the Bible, he already saw earlier, no man, no person is worthy to take the book. But Jesus overcame the world and sin and death and even himself. And he took the book. So now he's handing it to us in a way, but yet he's not just going to throw it at us and that we just have to receive it, even though we word it that way in the song. Think of it this way. You have to see enough value in it that you're willing to step up, walk up, and take the book. Take the scepter from the king. Take it. Take the authority. Can you do that with me? I believe that's what our brother's trying to share tonight. I hope I'm right. That you have to walk up and take that because it belongs to you. Take your children. Take all that. It belongs to you. How many needs healing tonight? I already have healing. I want you to just understand that book has your name on it. It's already yours. You just have to walk up and take it. So sing it with me. The joy we can have, the happiness, is it's ours. All we got to do is take it. Would you do that with me? Amen. Sing it with me now. Well, can't you see why I'm so happy? I accepted the word of the Lord. Amen. It's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi. For sing it again from your heart now. Oh, can't you see? Oh, why I'm so happy. Yes, I've accepted the word of the Lord, the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi. We got to sing that again from your soul now. Come on, brothers, come on. Can't you see why I'm so happy? Yes, I have taken the word of the Lord. Full authority is yours. The revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi. Let's just praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The revealed word is in our hearts now. It's become one with us, Lord. We are receiving your atonement. You're claiming us, Lord, and we receive it. We take it. We accept it. We know it's true. Oh, God. Hallelujah. It's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi.